Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will talk with registered dietitian and culinary educator Jill Nussenow. Jill will tell us how to prepare delicious and nutritious whole food meals in less than 30 minutes. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Well, here's a study asking the question, can MSG make you fat? You know, monosodium glutamate has been linked to higher BMI. Monosodium glutamate, or also known as MSG, is a food additive used to enhance flavor, particularly in savory Asian dishes. While researchers remain split on whether MSG is one factor contributing to obesity, a study from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, suggests that there may indeed be a link. The study published in Obesity examined MSG intake over 4 days among 368 Chinese women and 384 men ages 40 to 59. MSG intake was then assessed against the subject's weight as measured by the body mass index, or what we call BMI. Even when numerous variables such as exercise and caloric intake were controlled, the trend analysis found that those who consumed the most MSG were 70% more likely to be overweight with a BMI of 25 or greater. Now, why might this be? Some researchers believe that glutamate molecule blocks an area of the brain which regulates secretion of leptin, thus potentially messing with satiety signals. While this theory remains controversial, there is no doubt that keeping food as real as possible, fruits, veggies, beans, nuts, and lean protein in their least processed form will maximize nutrition and minimize calories. Also, keep in mind that MSG is a type of salt, which in excess may raise hypertensive risk. Indeed, the American Dietetic Association suggests that reducing salt intake by a mere 15% could save 9 million lives a year. Well, here's a study that has shown that stretching could increase arterial flexibility by 23%. While it's true that some people are simply born more flexible than others, regular stretching exercises can dramatically extend your range of motion. By stretching, you increase the elasticity of your muscles, but could you also be stretching and increasing the elasticity of your arteries? Well, it's quite possible, according to new research. That's the surprising conclusion of a University of Texas of Austin study, which examined how exercise impacted arterial stiffness among 42 sedentary men and women ages 40 to 83. Weightlifting, whether combined with aerobics or on its own, had little effect on arterial flexibility. The biggest benefits was enjoyed by the so-called control group, who were put on a stretching regimen. After 13 weeks, the stretching group increased arterial flexibility by 23%. Now, although this particular finding is rather surprising, the observation made by the author showed that stretching may be capable of modifying arterial stiffness. Possible explanations? Well, stretching increases the collagen and elastin content of the artery walls and has also been found to help lower blood pressure, which we know that chronic high blood pressure contributes to artery hardening. While further research is needed to confirm these findings, other larger studies have linked poor flexibility with arterial stiffening. Stretching offers a multitude of other benefits. Stretching may reduce post-exercise soreness by as much as 23%, while also protecting muscle tendon injury. So do some flexibility every day when you exercise. We'll be back right after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
Our question for today is, what are carotenoids and what do they do for the body? Carotenoids represent one of the most widespread groups of naturally occurring pigments, and these pigments are largely responsible for the red, yellow, and orange color of fruits and vegetables, and they are also found in many dark green vegetables. The most abundant carotenoids in the North American diet are beta-carotene, alpha-carotene, gamma-carotene, lycopene, lutein, beta-cryptoxanthin, zeaxanthin, and astaxanthin. Carotenoids protect your cells from the damaging effects of free radicals. They provide a source of vitamin A, and they enhance the functioning of your immune system.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl discusses vital topics important to your health and longevity.
And our special guest today is Jill Nussenow, and Jill is a registered dietitian for the past 30 years. She's a culinary educator for more than 20 years and has taught thousands of people how to pressure cook easily and safely for more than 15 years. She is the author of a brand new cookbook called The New Fast Food, The Veggie Queen Pressure Cooks Whole Food Meals in Less Than 30 Minutes. And welcome, Jill.
Thank you, Dr. John. I appreciate being here.
Well, we're glad you're with us today. And first of all, I want to ask you, how long have you been interested in vegetarian and plant-based diets?
Oh, too long to even talk about. I got interested when I was a teenager, and I'm no longer a teenager. So many years. It's more than 30, I'll tell you that.
Well, as a teenager, how did you get interested in that?
Well, it wasn't really a long story. I had a friend who decided that he was going to become a vegetarian, and I liked the whole idea, and I didn't really like meat. So I went along with him and said, I'm going to be a vegetarian. And that pretty much was it.
Well, that's interesting, because I became a vegetarian when I was a teenager, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, but it seems like a lot of us have, because it's a time in our life that we're looking at different things and getting more interested in health and so forth. And you decided, I guess, like me, to go into nutrition as a career.
Well, actually, first I went into business as a career.
Oh, okay. Tell us about that.
Well, I went into business because I thought it was interesting. And at the time, I had never even considered going into nutrition. Mm-hmm. My father, who was an attorney, wanted me to be an attorney. So I figured, well, business would be fine. And then when it came right down to going into being an attorney, a lawyer, I was like, I don't think I want to do that. And then I started to really think what was of interest to me. And so I decided to go into nutrition and dietetics.
Oh, great. And cooking was, of course, a big interest to you. And how did you actually get involved in teaching cooking?
Well, I was working with a marketing guy in L.A., and he said to me, what else can you do? So I said, I can teach cooking. Now, I really hadn't taught cooking. I kind of had taught a little cooking, because when I first moved to Los Angeles, someone I knew, actually, who you may No, Jeannie Peters had this job.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Jeannie had this job presenting to corporations, and part of the job was to do these little cooking demos, but I never really connected the dots then. And so when this guy said, what else can you do? I was like, well, I could teach cooking. Not even like thinking back, oh, I've taught cooking. So I was actually at the time a private practice dietitian, and I had a client, and I said to her, hey, do you think you can invite some people over and I'll practice a class? There was a cooking school that I had approached, and they said, sure, you can teach this class. And so I practiced on my clients' friends, and they liked the class, and that's how I got started.
Oh, really? And now you're known all over as the Veggie Queen. How'd you get that nickname?
Well, John, I don't have the easiest last name, and I actually started my business as the Vegetarian Connection, but a lot of people can't spell vegetarian, so they couldn't find me online, and they couldn't remember my last name. So I had, like, the double whammy there. So it's like somebody once introduced me in a cooking class as the resident Veggie Queen.
Yes.
And I went, oh, that's good. People can remember that. And so people really do remember that, which is great.
But anyway, let's go on. And I notice in your new cookbook that you actually promote pressure cooking in your latest cookbook. Tell us a little bit about pressure cooking. And of course, I think a lot of people, when they think of pressure cooking, they get a little scared. They wonder how safe it is, or they think they're afraid it's going to blow up or something. Tell us about pressure cooking and how you got into that.
Well, the reason I got into pressure cooking, the reason I wouldn't have gotten into pressure cooking was from my mother's pressure cooking experiences, which kind of had some of those scary details. But, you know, I was a vegetarian, still am, and, you know, I pretty much live on beans, and I had heard that you could make beans really fast in a pressure cooker.
Yes.
So I was extremely interested. And I actually bought my first pressure cooker around 1985, 1986, and brought it home from the store and didn't do anything with it. And after 13 days, there was a 14-day return policy, I picked it up and I brought it back because I was scared. And then, you know, was a number of years, and I was like, I really have to learn how to do this thing. I waited, and then once I had my son, I couldn't wait anymore. I was like, I need something fast and something easy. And I had seen someone demonstrate how to use a pressure cooker, and I could tell it was fast and easy and safe. And so I was like, oh, got to get one of those. And so that's how I started. I got one of those, and then I got another one of those, and, you know, kept going from there.
So most of your cooking that you do is with pressure cookers?
Almost all of it.
Uh-huh.
Kind of once you get hooked on the pressure cooker, you keep thinking, well, why would I cook that any other way? Except the main thing with the pressure cooker is you do need to cook with liquid.
Yes.
So it could be a teeny amount of liquid or a larger amount of liquid. So it may be like, you know, fast-cooked broccoli, which takes 1 minute under pressure with just a little liquid, or it might be, you know, lentil soup, which has a lot more liquid and still is fast, but it has a lot more liquid. And so it can be anything in between. I just cooked something for a vegan potluck. I made my purple sticky rice pudding, and I added apricots and sweet potatoes, and it was so good.
Well, you know, on this program, we advocate eating a plant-based diet for health and longevity. And how does the pressure cooker really help people that are trying to eat that way?
Well, someone at one of my groups last year called it the vegan's best friend.
Oh.
And it basically allows you to eat a plant-based diet in 50% or less of the time that you would normally spend. So if you love beans, which I do, let's say you love black beans, which I do, once you soak them, when you go to cook them, they take around 6 minutes under pressure, which means that your total cooking time is going to take maybe, you know, it's going to take maybe 5 minutes to get to pressure and 5 minutes to come down. So what's that, 16 minutes? So you don't have to buy canned beans anymore if you don't want to. And so everything takes at least half the time that it would over other kinds of cooking. So no longer do you have a reason to say, oh, I can't eat, you know, brown rice because it takes too long, because it takes less time. So,
well, here on your book title, you say you can make a whole foods meal in less than 30 minutes, and that seems amazing. How do you do that with a pressure cooker?
Well, if you want to make a whole meal, you need two pressure cookers.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, you need two, but it's fine. Some of them come in sets with two pots and one lid. And so let's say in one you're going to cook brown, and then once the pressure comes down, you can put the lid on that one, and then you can cook your curry in the other one in, like, you know, 5 minutes. Because the quick cooking vegetables, you actually have to do something which you couldn't do on the old pressure cookers, and that's called the quick release. So they actually have these buttons that will let the pressure out, so you don't have to carry your very heavy hot pot to the sink and run water on it. So like broccoli in 1 minute, you just cook the broccoli and you push the button and the pressure comes out and you open it up and there's your beautiful broccoli.
Now, you teach all these cooking classes, mostly in Northern California, and I know that you have some cooking demonstrations on your website, too. Why don't you give us your website information?
My website is theveggiequeen.com, with a T-H-E in front of Veggie Queen.
Okay, and when you've done these live presentations, when you have students come into your classes, have you found that people take to the pressure cooking easily, or how hard did it take them to learn how to use a pressure cooker?
I don't think it takes long. I think the issue for a lot of people is getting it out of the box and making something with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first recommendation, if you get a pressure cooker, is take it out of the box and put a little water in it, like a cup of water. Lock it up, because a lot of them need to be locked. Put it on your stove and bring it to pressure. And then, you know, quick release the pressure, see what happens so you feel comfortable. And then the second thing you do is you make stock. And you can make stock in the pressure cooker in 5 minutes at pressure, which is pretty amazing. No longer do you need those boxes or cans, and it's really easy. So I don't think it's a question of actually using it. But once people use it, I told people, you know, if I had a dollar for every person who said I'm scared of the pressure cooker, I wouldn't have to work. But if I had $10 for every person who said they love their pressure cooker, I probably wouldn't have to work either.
So. Well, you know, your book, of course, is focused in on pressure cookers. But let's say someone doesn't have a pressure cooker. Could they still make the recipes you have in your book with a typical type of cooking equipment?
Well, they probably could. You could probably do some of the recipes in the slow cooker. Some of them are specific. I mean, they're all specifically for the pressure cooker. I say it's all pressure all the time. So this book actually is only pressure cooking. My first book, which is The Veggie Queen, Vegetables Get the Royal Treatment, is divided up according to the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So it has one for every season, and then it has one with pressure cooking recipes, and then one with recipes that I call any time at all. So those recipes are mostly not for the pressure cooker. So I can appeal to everybody, but honestly, I think if you're going to be eating a plant-based diet, a pressure cooker will certainly change your life.
And that's what the uniqueness with your cookbook compared to the other vegetarian cookbooks are, because it does focus on using a pressure cooker. And let's talk a little bit about the cookbook now. There's so many, as I'm going through this the last few days, you have some great recipes in here. Give us a little idea of some of the different varieties of recipes that you have in there. And what are some of your real favorite ones you like to share with people?
I actually love the 3-minute steel-cut oats, because people are always like, I can't eat steel-cut oats. They take too long. So I love that. My favorite recipe is one that I keep changing the name on, and so I keep forgetting what it's really called. But now it's called 3-minute potatoes, tofu, and vegetables for breakfast or any time. And this is like my go-to recipe that I make like once or twice a week. You can make it with tofu or tempeh, potatoes, all kinds of vegetables. And so I change it according to the season. So right now, you know, it's a colder season, so it might be broccoli or Brussels sprouts or parsnips or, you know, celery root, all kinds of things go in there. So that's one of my absolute favorites. And then people really love, Shane's Fabulous Lentil Soup is my recipe that I started with, and so people love that. And then there's all kinds of stews, and my very closest friend just sent me a message. Her husband uses the pressure cooker and loves it. And she sent me a message that she had the best doll ever from my recipe. And that was like really heartwarming. I was like, wow.
Well, that's great.
And then people love risotto, even though I don't consider that a whole food. But people do love it. And in the pressure cooker, you can make risotto in 5 minutes without stirring.
Okay, and you have desserts in there and other types of foods?
Oh, I have everything from breakfast through dessert. I think I have at least one recipe for how to make a bean dip. So, you know, once you make the beans, you can turn it into hummus, you can turn it into black bean dip if you have black beans, or some other kind of bean dip. I have side dishes for just vegetable dishes, stews, chili, curries. I mean, it's a broad range of recipes.
Now, when someone wants to get, does someone get a copy of your book? And you have it in different forms, I understand.
I do. My book is available on my website, either as a print version of my book or an ebook, a downloadable ebook, which a lot of people like. You can download it, and then what you do is you can print out the recipe you want and just use it like that, and it's always on your computer. It's not a Kindle version yet. We're working on that. And then, and you can get it from Amazon.
Okay, and we'll have a link on our website too, healthandlongevityradio.com. But give us your website again.
It is www.theveggiequeen.com.
Now, you've been a registered dietitian for over 30 years, and I know you've seen the trends going from people getting interested in vegetarian diets and going to high-protein, high-meat diets. And then it seems like people are starting to turn around a little bit now and get more interested in plant-based diets again, doesn't it?
It does. Well, I have to clarify, I haven't been a dietitian for over 30 years, just almost 30 years. But I see a huge, and I'm talking huge, interest in plant-based diets. I just did that cooking demo I was talking about where I made that purple sticky rice pudding.
Yes.
There were more than 50 people there to this meeting, which is a lot, to, you know, come hear what I had to say and share food with other people. And people are like, you know, I've just followed this plant-based diet for just a little while, or, you know, I've been doing it a year. And so I see a lot of change for a lot of reasons. I think one of the things that I like to talk about is not only the health reason, which I rarely talk about, but mm-hmm. environmentally, how
yes.
good it is. And then I think environmentally, when you combine the pressure cooker and eating a plant-based diet, you are really getting kind of low on the carbon footprint. And if you can buy local and seasonal and organic, you know, you're just like at the top of that heap. So, and I think, you know, there's kind of some celebrity push to do this, which is incredible. As you know, having
yes.
done this a long time, it's like, when did you ever think that you'd see someone talking about this on daytime television?
Exactly.
So I think things are changing. You know, what I like to say to people is that a plant-based diet is a good way to start for any other way you're going to eat.
And you are also very active with the new, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics is representing here in California, that practice group of registered dietitians that specialize in vegetarian nutrition, don't you?
I am. I am the co-chair of the, of the Vegetarian Nutrition Dietetic Practice Group in California. And we have the largest group of dietitians in the country, in California, who are members of this dietetic practice group, which is great. And the membership has been growing yearly because I think a lot of dietitians are either vegetarian or vegan or, you know, going more plant-based, and they also want to be able to share this information with clients and patients and just the general population.
Do you find more and more health professionals like dietitians, of course, in your group that you're involved in, but other health professionals getting more interested in plant-based diets or not? Where are we today? And, you know, seems like we've been battling this for some time, trying to educate physicians and others about the importance of eating a healthy plant-based diet.
I think that it's changing. You know, where I am in Northern California, there's actually a couple of doctors at Kaiser who have been pushing this agenda. Which is great. They have a group that meets there semi-regularly. I think it's still maybe not as easy as it could be, but I did a project at Kaiser a number of years ago, I would say 5 or 6, where I actually revamped the cafeteria so that they now offer vegan food 3 days a week in the cafeteria. And it was kind of an uphill battle because a lot of the people who work in healthcare necessarily don't buy into the I want to be healthy thing. But I think it's changing, and I see more people who work in healthcare at least listening if they're not doing it.
And the thing is, we're seeing patients these days that are getting tremendous results, aren't we, and when they go this way of eating?
Absolutely. I think that's the whole thing is, you know, I have people who write to me and say, you know, I've been following a vegan diet and, you know, I've just lost 100 pounds. I actually met a woman. I was teaching at Rancho La Puerta in Mexico, and she lost, it was a large amount of weight. I want to say, you know, somewhere around, I could have this wrong, 100 pounds
mm-hmm.
by following a vegan diet. And she didn't really do, you know, she was exercising, but it wasn't like she did a whole lot else. And she said she feels so good. When I met her and she told me that, I was kind of amazed, because sometimes you see people and you think, oh, well, you know, they must have weighed more. But she just seemed very in her body, which was great, because she didn't, you know, do it overnight. You know, it took a year, as it should, if you're going to lose 100 pounds. So I think that's the whole thing. It's like a lot of people are doing it for health reasons, because there's a lot of things you don't have to deal with. And, you know, not dealing with the meat and dairy industry is kind of great.
It really is. And it's changing people's lives and contributing to their health and longevity. Well, Jill, I want to thank you for being on the program today. But let's, Jill Nussen now is our guest today. And tell us again the name of your book and how they can get it and about your website and what they can see on that.
Okay. Well, the name of my book, which could be shorter because it's fast, but is The New Fast Food, The Veggie Queen Pressure Cooks Whole Food Meals in Less Than 30 Minutes. My website is www.theveggiequeen.com, and you can find my book there as a print version, as an ebook. I also have, I should just mention, a DVD of how to pressure cook if you need to see it, and you can find me on YouTube under The VQ. So there's a lot of ways to find me, and I really want to encourage people to adopt a plant-based diet and get themselves a pressure cooker.
Okay, well, thank you, Jill, for being with us today, and we wish you the best of success as you teach people about a healthier way of eating.
Thank you.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's it for this week's program, and we encourage you to tune in next week to Health and Longevity. Until our next broadcast, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.